You're listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS FM Columbus. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. On today's show, Bridget Cruz talks to a student about his dyslexia and dysgraphia and how he didn't let it prevent him from becoming a dental student and an author. Stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Bridget Cruz, and today I'll be interviewing Derek Budendorf, a fourth-year dental student at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry.
Hi, my name is Derek Budendorf. I love to write. I love to do mission work. I'm a senior dental student, and I have dyslexia and dysgraphia.
Show me your teeth.
How would you describe dyslexia and dysgraphia?
Dyslexia and dysgraphia, they're very related, but technically they're two different disorders. It has a problem with the brain processing what you're reading. And there's five different kind of forms of dyslexia, and it's different ways that you perceive things when you read. And a lot of it's due to the brain processing what you're reading very, very quickly. And it can either flip words, it could change letters and words, and it can also even put a brand new word where it's what you're reading. In short, it makes it difficult to read.
What are the main differences between dyslexia and dysgraphia?
Dysgraphia is mostly due to it's a difficulty spelling, and it's putting out, instead of having the problem reading the thoughts, having a problem putting out the thoughts in your writing.
When did you realize that you had both of these disorders?
Ooh, good question. My grandfather always knew he had the disorder, and he actually struggled with the disorder, and through all the odds, he went to medical school and graduated. And then when the research was coming out about it, he noticed his daughter had the same disorder, which ended up being my mom. And so they knew to early on test their children. And as they suspected, when I was 5 years old and they started doing some early testing, they realized that I too had the disorder, and so did my little brother.
After you were diagnosed with dyslexia dysgraphia, what type of help did you receive?
Some of the biggest thing is tutoring. And I remember I hated it as a little kid. I knew I had to go to tutoring throughout the summer. And as my buddies were going outside to play baseball and go throw the football or just ride bikes, I knew that I had to give at least 2 hours a week to going in to sit in and go to tutoring, whether it was reading out loud and writing. It was something that I didn't really appreciate until now, and it's something that was totally worth it, and it's something that I would definitely do for my children in the future.
What type of strategies or learning techniques have you learned?
Oh, goodness. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of tools. Whether it's, for me, spelling is the biggest thing that's the struggle. So little keys of breaking down words, because the smaller it is, the easier it is for my mind to pick it up. So I break down different ways to spell a word or different ways to read the word. And same with how I read. And my brain wants to go really, really fast, and it's kind of, I got to slow down. So in some ways, all these techniques make it, that's what takes a lot longer to read. But it's the way I get through.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
How did this disorder affect your self-concept of yourself?
It really, having dyslexia at an early age, it did make me stand out as different. And it really helped change the way that I perceive the world around, knowing that I have to do things differently. And it's very tough, but in some ways, it helped adjust the way that I view others and accepting differences.
Did dyslexia, dysgraphia ever have an effect on your social abilities?
I've always been a talkative kid, so it never made me want to sit in the corner, but I knew I was different, and I was always afraid that kids would view me as different, so a lot of times I hid that I was dyslexic, and I would try to avoid any possible way of reading in public. I hated that. It was my biggest fear, where people fear going to the dentist. I feared reading out loud in class. I had nightmares about it, and I still have nightmares about it in my sleep. But I would try to hide that I was different in that fact, and I would play it off like a joke when people would laugh, and I would just play like I was doing it on purpose. But I learned to accept it, and I learned that the average person is not going to judge you for it. And if they do, it's not worth getting upset over.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Do your best, do everything you can, and don't you worry what the bitter hearts are gonna say.
Has anyone ever called you dumb?
Yeah, I've been called dumb before, and it's something that a lot of dyslexics take to heart, and it's some people even start to think that they are, which is a horrible, horrible thing. But luckily I have a supporting family that when I came home and I'd be upset that some kid called me dumb because I wouldn't be able to read out loud in class, that they said it's not true and that, you know, you just learn differently than they do. And it helped strengthen me and help prove to myself that I'm not dumb. I'm just a little bit different.
So you are right now you're a fourth year dental student at The Ohio State University. In comparison to your classmates, how much time do you spend studying versus them?
Easily 2 to 3 times more than they study. So let's say comparison, if we go home and the average student studies 2 hours for over a certain material, I have to study 4 to 6. And it's something that I've gotten used to because I've had to do it since I was little in school. And at the same time, I know I have to study hard because it's going to be a lot harder when I take that test. And I got to be not stressed, because when you're under stress a lot of times, and actually when you're tired, which is the sad thing, so it hurts when you're staying up late studying. But under stress, a lot of times dyslexia will kick in and make it harder to even read the test. So it's a battle that I got to fight, but it's totally worth it in the long run.
So you published your first book when you're in high school. Now, publishing a book for anyone is a very tedious and difficult process. But you not only did it at a young age, you also have dyslexia and dysgraphia.
It took a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of time to put forth to do something like that. I was so busy in high school too. I would do it at night, and my parents would think I was asleep, and I would turn on the light upstairs and I would just start writing and writing and writing. And I was in the middle of playing volleyball. I played men's volleyball in high school and doing choir and studying, and I was a good student in high school, surprisingly. Being, you know, people think dyslexic students aren't that good, but I had a 3.9 in high school. And so I was studying hard, and it takes twice as long to study. So basically I was very, very tired in the morning, but it was worth it in the long run.
What inspired you to write a book?
I say the biggest inspiration is every time someone said I couldn't do it, it helped really push me to try as hard as I can to do it and prove them wrong. So proving the haters wrong is something that I've learned to do in my life, and I'm proud of it.
Who are these people that were just hating on you? I just can't imagine that. You're just such a nice person, and you're so determined, and you're a hard worker, and you're 3.9 in high school. Who were these people that were just, like, dogging you?
I don't know. There's always going to be people throughout everyone's life that look at them being different or not exactly going the mainstream or going the path that they go. And there's a lot of people that hate differences, no matter what the difference is, whether it's dyslexia, whether it's your gender, whether it's your sexual orientation, whether it's your race, whether it's your religion. And the biggest thing is, though people do hate you, don't let it shape the way you view yourself.
I know who I am.
So the book that you published in high school is called Quintel. And I saw a little interview, or actually an article of you on a website of your undergraduate school, Baldwin Wallace University. And in the article, it talked about how you envisioned this story while you're in eighth grade, and then you finished it while you're in high school. Can you tell us about what Quintel is about and why you wanted to write a book like this one?
A lot of the books that I really like, I love science fiction. I love Orwell, Wells, C.S. Lewis. And I really liked, faith is very important in my family and for me. And there's a lot of people that we feel that God gives us our talents and we should give them back in any way we can. And my family does that through medicine, giving back as missionaries. And I plan on doing the same with dentistry. Being a dental missionary and helping with my faith, I really wanted to incorporate in my first book. So I made a children's book, and it's science fiction, but it's kind of like Narnia in the fact that it has some Christian allegory in it. And I really actually wrote it for my little brother who was growing up, and I really wanted to write a story for him. One, multiple reasons I want to write the book for him. One, he has dyslexia too, and to show him that I can do something even though people said I can't. Two, it was a story that could entertain him, and it did. He really liked it. And three was, it was something to help him strengthen his faith and help explain the faith to him at such a young age.
Do you have any plans to write any more novels or books?
Yeah, I'm actually in my works of writing another novel. It's not science fiction. It's actually it's a sports novel, and it's nonfiction. It's based on my father's story of another overcoming adversity story. And it was my father who came from a very, very small town in Ohio. And it was 1975, and the only way to get to college was through a basketball scholarship. And no one was looking at his team at the time because they were just small and scrawny, and they ended up winning states, and they were the Cinderella team of 1975. So my book's about that.
What helped you most to overcome challenges?
I would say, truly, the my biggest help is my family. I have a strong family that are very supportive of what I do and are always 100% behind me, no matter what I choose to do with my life. And also knowing that my biggest role model is my grandfather. And to know that he spent his life, he overcame his dyslexia and didn't let him hold him down, didn't let that be a crutch. And how he ended up going to medical school with it and ended up serving the community and giving back. That's something that I strive to be just like him.
What are your goals for the future?
Well, I just got married to a beautiful wife, so I hope to eventually have a family, but not right now, eventually down the road. And I plan on, after I'm done with my schooling, to have a practice and continue to write. I think I'll write until I leave this earth, and I also continue to, I want to continue to do mission work and be a dental missionary, wherever that sends me around the world.
What advice do you want to give to other youth and adults who have dyslexia and dysgraphia?
My biggest advice to not just dyslexics, but anybody that has any kind of adversity or anything that makes them a little different, is don't give up, don't give in, and keep up the fight.
Well, hey, thank you for talking with me today.
Well, thank you.
No, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. No, I stand my ground. Won't get turned around. In this great big world that's dragging me down. No, I stand my ground. And I won't back down.
You're listening to Youth Beat Radio. Next up, Youth Beat Radio's newest reporters from Youngstown, Lionel Lockhart, Brian Moncrief, Taylor Hill, Brandon Moncrief, and Raven Phillips, share essays they wrote about what they would talk about on the radio.
If I had a talk show on the radio, I would hit the main subjects in school. Like, kids want to play football but don't got the grades. They need extra help, like after-school programs that really help. If you ask me, every kid learned different, and I think the school highlights the good kids too many times. I ain't saying it's a bad thing, but the other kids feel some type of way, and they put them down. A couple of years, I played football. I kept my grades up, but my friends always had a bad grade. They tried to play, but they couldn't play because the grades was down. So the team kind of sucked without them because they was kind of sweet players, but they always played around in class. After class, they get detention and stuff, but they never had help. Too many teachers never give kids attention like they really need. They try to help in school and get smarter, but I need after-school help, really, like, one-on-one, not one in 20, like, classmates with me. Because I don't like learning in front of other people. I feel, like, embarrassed somehow. It was the same thing in every sport. Even the cheerleaders had the bad grades that couldn't participate because of their grades. I don't blame the kids. I don't blame the teachers. I like when you blame the parents. I'm just saying. Because they let the kids do whatever they want, free-balling. I love where I come from, and when I make it, I'm going to rebuild Youngstown. It's a difference between every school, like how one side of the city look good and the other side of the city all messed up, like the streets all messed up on one side of Youngstown, south side, and Austintown, the streets look all nice, and the houses look all pretty and stuff. People be forgetting where they come from. Like, I remember this dude, Mr. David, he used to live across the street from me. He moved to Austintown, and he come back once in a while, but he talk different, act different. Like, he don't be trying to talk to the kids no more, play basketball with us. People get power and get a little crazy with it. For example, treat people the wrong way. I hate people that got their nose stuck up like you better than somebody when you was on the same boat. I walk to school every day, and there's always somebody fighting or somebody getting bullied. But I'll just not pay attention because it's not me. And I know some of the other kids think about it like that too. But I think, like, how do people treat other people, like, put them down when they humans just like us? I think the TV, like rap videos, they put stuff in kids' minds like, it's okay to do this and get away with it. And it's okay to do this, even with your boys. But I try to stay with the good crowd. Working hard and stuff, that's what I was always taught by my dad. But some kids don't even got the heart to even get their grades up. I look at school as a big paycheck. When I graduate and get a job, then I start getting all the money for all them years in school, like from college to high school, from kindergarten. You really see that from people walking down my street. I want to tell the truth, what I see every day. Kids need help. They forget about their dads, their moms. When I make a little bit of money, I give my mom a couple of money. I always want to take a little kid out of kindergarten, buy some shoes or something. Like, do something nice for the youth. Like, when winter come, buy some coats for some kids and just, like, start donating stuff for the homeless and give them houses. Everybody work together, play together, and stay together.
If I had a radio station, I would talk about sports because I love sports. Many people play sports in my area. I have been in sports my whole life. Sports helped me make a career for myself. I think if more people play sports, there wouldn't be any deaths. I grew up on playing sports. You can be somebody important in the athletic business. For example, let's look at LeBron James. He's been a star since he was 13 when there was the 5-5. He did not go to college, but he was good enough to make it to the NBA. Just recently, he won a championship ring with the Miami Heat and got MVP because he pushed himself. He was determined to win the championship, and he succeeded. Now let's talk about Michael Vick. He is the best quarterback I've ever seen. He messed up his career with that dog fight. He knew he was wrong, and he did time for it. He may not be the best quarterback now, but he is a good role model of a man. Also, the Tennessee Titans halfback Chris Johnson is a good person. We all know he is the fastest running back ever. He also made bad decisions in his life, but he made it through to be an athlete. On the track, Usain Bolt is the world's fastest 100-meter runner ever. He had a bad childhood life living in Haiti. He relied on sports to comfort him, and now it paid off.
If I could talk about anything on the radio, I would talk about track. Track is important to me because I joined the track team when I was in third grade. I enjoyed it, and I've been running track ever since, and I ran fourth through ninth. When I was in sixth grade, I went to the Olympics. I was sitting in class when they told me I got in the Olympics. They told me how proud they was of me. When I went home, I told my mom and other family members. They were so happy that I got to go to the Olympics. I called my dad and told him. He said he wished me best of luck, and I did a good job. I was happy I got to travel out of state. When I went to the Olympics, I was scared because I saw faster people from other states, but I didn't let anything get to me. I did my best, and I won. Track has been important to me my whole life. Eventually, I want to move to Atlanta and go to the university to run.
If I had a radio station, we should talk about teen gang violence because as of right now, there are too many young folk dying. I think every young person should have a right to live. All of the gangs in Youngstown are the cause of some of the violence in Youngstown. The other reason why young people are dying is because of them dropping out of school selling drugs. When young people sell drugs, that reflects on them when they go get a job. They don't know when they take drugs that does something to their body, when they put all them chemicals in their body. Our young people should be burying their mother, not their parents burying their own children. That hurts me and their loved ones very bad for that to happen. I had a young fellow that died at the age of 14. That person was like a brother. We grew up together going to camp. The young people in Youngstown need to buckle down and get their head in the books. Now let's talk about all the gangs in Youngstown. The gangs in Youngstown is the most caused because all of the gangs start to fight. So most likely someone is going to get shot or badly beaten. Our young people need to learn how to walk away from the violence and just talk about it without the violence. When someone starts to talk about you, your first move is to fight. That's the reason why they say if you don't have anything to say, don't say nothing at all. Because when you start something, the other one is going to finish it with words of violence. That's why they need to turn the other cheek and go talk to a grown-up. I really think we should have a teen night out at a church, or at least bring a teen with us to get a better life with God and with other people. Maybe when he or she was growing up, they grew up in a bad environment or around bad people. That's why they need to stay in church and get a nice job to take care of themselves when they get older, because mommy and daddy is not always going to be on this earth to tell you wrong and right. That's why we should come to church and get right with God, because when he or she have a problem with someone, all they have to do is pray about it. I hope and pray that all of the violence in Youngstown stop, because that breaks my heart to see all of them young people dying in Youngstown, because everyone in the world has the right to live like everyone else.
The things I would discuss on the radio are the good and the bad. Some of the things I would discuss are the churches, the arrests that are being made, and the jobs that people provide for teenagers. Some of the bad things I would discuss are the killings, shootings, robberies, local fights, and gang violence. I would discuss things good pertaining to churches because the pastors can help you with many things. For example, they can help you with your problems, help you seek shelter, and help you with food and clothing. I would discuss good things pertaining to the arrests that are being made, because without the arrests being made, there wouldn't be justice served. And the murderers would just think they can get away with anything. Last but not least, I would discuss things pertaining to the jobs that people provide for teenagers, because that is a big help for the teens that are less fortunate. I would discuss things bad pertaining to the killings and shootings, because that is a major concern. Nobody wants to bury their loved one. There is nothing that can bring their loved one back. Most victims get murdered over things that can get talked through. I would discuss bad things pertaining to robberies, because the victims that they rob are mostly elderly people, and the elderly people are not able to defend themselves. I would discuss things bad pertaining to local fights, because usually fights lead to shooting and shooting leads to death, and death isn't what we want. There is already enough of that. I would discuss things bad pertaining to the gang violence. There is really no point for these people to dislike each other over nonsense. There are gang members that used to be close friends and now they dislike one another over a color. It's not called for at all. These are the topics I would discuss on the radio, good and bad.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can check us out online at youthbeat.osu.edu and connect with us on Facebook. You can also email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Thank you for listening. Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio High Schools, youth groups, and universities. The show is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, a grant from Ohio State Community Access to Resources and Educational Services Program, the Puffin Foundation West, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.